Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Fill this place as we lift our hands before you. Oh, yes, Lord, we come to bow down to exalt you, to glorify you. We come, O God, to let you know that we love you because you first love us. We ask your mercy and we ask your grace this morning to be upon us, upon this ministry, upon all those that are coming on the line even now, and those that are listening by satellite radio. We ask your mercy and your grace to be upon them. Father, we pray for those in St. Louis that have been attacked by the FBI, and those in Florida of the African descent that has been attacked by the FBI. We ask, Lord, that you expose all the evil and all the contaminants that are contaminating our nation and causing our nation to become separated, Lord, divided, O God. We pray today that you, O Lord, show yourself as you are mighty, sovereign, O God, the God of compassion, the God of mercy and grace, the God that draws people unto you, Lord. We ask for you, Lord, to do for us what no one else can do for us, Lord. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we praise you. Oh, my Lord, we bow down and worship you. We ask you, Father, to have your way in this service today. And speak, O God, speak through us, O God, as we heal our eyes and our ears and our lips to you, Lord, today. We ask you to have your way, Lord. Let it be all about you, Jesus. The glory all belongs to you, Jesus, not to us. We thank you for touching Bishop James Washington. Lord, how you touch his body and allow him to experience your touch. Oh, God, we thank you for, oh, God, touching his wife, that she have the strength to stand next to her husband while he's going through. We pray today, Lord, for them, that you continue to raise them up as your ambassadors in this earth realm. Father, we are so careful. We are so careful to give you all the glory and all the honor. In the Master's name of Jesus, we pray. Today I'm talking to you from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to speak to you because I've been seeing a lot of stuff going on in the world and being messing with my spirit man somewhat, not in a way to really cause me to act simple, but in a way that conviction come when I look and see that the how far away we are from the path of righteousness. You know, even the ones that are proclaiming to be believers are acting unseemly and not following the path of righteousness. And it gets to you because you look at these people that have been in ministry for 40, 50 years, 30 years, 20 years, and it seems like they forget the path, or they can't find the path any longer. So the Lord dropped this on me yesterday. He was doing some things around here, and he put this word in my spirit. There has to be a separation for holiness. There have to be a separation for holiness. And we want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and then we're going to jump some other places as the Lord lead us today. And we, you know, we're going to teach the whole book. The whole book is a short book, only 18 verses. We're going to teach it all, you know, as the Lord give us utterance. A lot of people believe, and I'm just talking, a lot of people believe that there can be believers or Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and they can still dip and dive in the world system. They can still do the thing that they used to do before they were safe. A lot of people still have that mindset. You know, this is why you see that so much stuff. You got pastors now that are fussing with each other because they are caught up with this Beyonce stuff. They're caught up with it because she's very beautiful. She's very attractive. Her legs are like silk. Her face is like almond butter, smooth, shining, has a glow. And it's all because Satan is dressing her up. Satan is cleaning her up to attract the men and women of God to be drawn to her. Even the young people, the young women, the young men are so excited about her that they don't even see the path of righteousness. Even in the house of the Lord, they don't see it. They become blind to the things of God. And God is saying that there has to be a separation for holiness. In other words, we have to totally disconnect ourselves from this lifestyle of this world. Hallelujah, glory to God. We have to disconnect ourselves because we are called to be salt, light and salt of the earth. We are called to be different. We are called to lead people out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ Jesus, because the light that's shining on us is supposed to shine on them. And it's supposed to shine on their path. The anointing that's in us is supposed to be like a magnet and kind of draw them. I mean, our lifestyle is supposed to speak to them. But what happened is, as you begin to walk through this life called holiness, you begin to see things that the world is showing you. You say, well, I'm missing out on this stuff now. I don't understand why I got to do this, why I got to live this way, why I got to act like this. But he told you that you have to separate. You have to separate yourself. Why? Because you are different. You are not the same person that you used to be, but we find ourselves still trying to be. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 7, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And what happened is, and we say this all the time, that folks still act, feel like they're the same person. And I always say that we look the same. Yes, we look the same. We may smell the same. Hallelujah. I just got out there, just got out the shower, and I said, well, as I just said that we look the same, may smell the same. I just realized I still smell like the fragrance of the soap, but I didn't remember. I just was just trying to get back to this desk, and I didn't remember to put the deodorant on in my arm. See, so I have to put this stuff on, and this thing will talk to you. You know, when you walking in this walk, you walk in this walk, the walk of righteousness, the walk of holiness, will talk to you. Glory to God. Just like this deodorant tell me, well, you know, you got to put some deodorant on. Well, I'm putting it on now. So what happened is, as a believer, we have to have this ministry, a reconciliation in our hearts. It's got to be in our hearts. Our mindset has to be that we're going to live our life in a way that somebody's going to be reconciled to Christ. Hallelujah. Why? Because when they look at us, they say, well, yes, I remember her. She used to be down on the 5th Avenue, 7th Avenue, 39th Street. And they would call up the streets to remember every place you used to be, where you used to be, and what you used to do. But then when they continue calling and look back, they say, man, she sure looked different. He sure looked different. He talked different. He walked different. Man, there's something different about them. Why? Because you have separated. You have allowed the Holy Spirit to separate you from darkness. Darkness represents sin. So you allow the Holy Spirit, that does not mean that you're perfect, but it means that you're being perfected. Oh, my God. We're being perfected every day. Hallelujah. Because we want to be perfect because he's perfect. He's perfecting us. So here in this book of Second Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says a very profound word here. This is talking about separation. Then we're going to go over to the book of Numbers and the book of Matthew and the book of Romans and so on, and Kings, and we're going to look at some things here. And hear what he said. He says,
amen.
He said, thank you. He said, we then as workers together with him, with who him? Christ Jesus. With Christ. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. No. Don't. The grace that has been bestowed upon you and I, don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. You've been washed in the blood, and then soon as somebody says, oh, yes, oh, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm Holy Ghost filled, I'm blood washed, I'm tongue-talk. We say all the cliches that sound righteous, sound holy, sound pious. Sound like we are part of the house of the Lord. We are part of the church. But then our walk, our talk, our actions does not line up. Paul said here, right here, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace, this unmerited favor of God in vain. Don't let it be of no use. Don't let it be worthless. Let it that when somebody see us, well, we thank God, Holy Spirit, feel your presence. When they see us, they see the Bible in action. Hallelujah. You sing in the choir, you sing on the praise thing, and you like to get up front so everybody can see you with a microphone in your hand. And the songs are coming forth so melodious that they can't wait to talk to you, want to shake your hand after the service. But when you leave the house of worship, the place of worship, you go back into your old lifestyle, acting like the world. Have not changed. Paul says, for he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted. Excuse me. And in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is your time. Hallelujah. You have been redeemed. You have been delivered. You have been restored to the rightful place of where Adam was in the Garden of Eden. Walk like it. Talk like it. Be it. We find it difficult because there's so much activities going on in the world that we live in. Yo, Risha, what activity are you talking about? I'm talking about the temptations that in the world. They're much more than the time of Adam and Eve. You got the cell phone, you got the iPad, you got the laptop, you got the tablets, you got all this stuff. You got the cars, you got the planes, you got the boats, you got the homes, money, gold, silver, all of these things are temptations. Then you got the young women walking around half naked. Old women, middle-aged women walking around half naked. I was watching a program last night where they was talking about how the FBI went into this African American place over there in St. Louis and in Florida. They went in with drones. They said they had about 30 cars and vans, high profile stuff, you know, this stuff that can break down walls and stuff, because these people trying to get this religion that exalts the African race, and they don't want that. They want to keep the African people underneath their feet. That's why you say the first thing that a rogue police officer would do when they get a black man is that they would throw him on the ground and they put the foot on his neck or the chest or the back, because they want to show the superiority over the black man or the black race. You understand what I'm saying? We're not racist, but I'm telling what these folk that all the police is not like that. I want you to know that. I know when my car got the accident, when the gate flew open and blew over, this police officer that came, his name was Wall. I can't forget that. And he was so nice. I mean, in everything, that even when he filled out the paper round. And we went down there, and he said, no problem. So we're going to. I'll go ahead and I'll redo it. He had to go back, and after a couple of days, he had to go back. We couldn't get in touch with the people because the stuff was typed out wrong. He made some errors, the address he put in there, because he wouldn't focus. But anyway, he went back and did everything that we told him that needed to be done and put all the information right. He took his time. He didn't say, well, look, I'm not going to fool you guys. But then all of them are not like that. You have some rogue police officers. Just that you got some rogue African-American people and call kids rogue people out there that cause problems. They burn places. They break into place and break store windows and all that stuff, you know. But they want help. Why? Because they have not changed. And then you got some church folk that walk between them because they say, well, I can go into this rant or whatever going on, and I can get a television. And this demonstration, I go in there, I can get me some gold. You know, it's the best time I can get a nice gold diamond ring. They break the jewelry store windows open. They break down the door, and they're going in there. It's nighttime, and they're going in there. They got masks on, all this stuff. You know, they can't steal anything, though, because everybody got a mask. They look like we call them Lone Ranger. Everybody got a mask now. One time you can have a mask. You go in the bank with a mask, they'll give you all kind of trouble. I mean, they look at you now. They look at you because they don't know what you're going to do. But everybody got a mask on. The bank, the hospital, the grocery store, they got a mask. Easy for people to rob people. Listen what he says. Give it no offense. Listen, you as a believer, because you are separated, give it no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. We got to walk this thing out. We got to walk it out. We got to live it out. As I said, it's not just Sunday morning. It's not just Wednesday night, midweek service, or Saturday morning, Sabbath day, Friday evening, Sabbath beginning. No, every day we have to carry this mantle that's on our life, that when people see us, they say, oh, that's truly a man of God. That's a woman of God. That's a child of God. Because why? You are ministering and not even saying a word out your mouth, just the way you're carrying yourself, just the way you respond to people. You say, well, I don't deal with white folk. I don't deal with black folk. Well, if you are a child of God, you deal with everybody. Everybody. You don't have the luxury. You don't have the luxury of hitting anybody. Just like I told them this morning on Facebook. Beyonce is working for the devil. And she told the people that. She said, when I lift my hands up, there's a spirit that comes. She said, a spirit comes into me. She said, when I'm dancing, it's not me dancing, but the spirit dancing. She said, when I'm singing, that's why I can hit them notes. She said, it's the spirit that's inside me hitting those notes, the satanic spirit. Pastor, look, I don't get it too much of blasting her out. We got to pray for her. We got to pray for her salvation. Hallelujah. Pray for her. Pray that God would touch a town. And the angel of God would take the call, just like in the book of Isaiah, and put upon her tongue. That she began to speak different, talk different, sing different. But you see, the devil is so slick, and so the Bible calls him cunning, subtle. He's so smooth. He's a smooth operator. You see, when folk get, they got millions, 10.5 billionaires. The more they get, the more they want. Because Satan says, keep showing them stuff. Oh, you can go higher. You can go higher. They're never satisfied. Why? Because she and her husband they're leading so many of our people to hell. The young women want to be like Beyonce. The young man want to be like Jay-Z. He got so many expensive cars, million-dollar cars. You know, they want to be like him. You wear Rolex watches, diamond bracelet, and diamond rings, and all this kind of stuff. And people get excited with their foolishness. That stuff is not going to take you to heaven. It might get you in the lake of fire and brimstone. You hear what I'm telling you? But Paul says, give it no offense. Offense. In anything. That the ministry be not ashamed, be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience and affliction and necessities and distresses. Even when we are going through, we still got to be the children of God. Even when your pocketbook is shaky. He's talking about this in necessities, where we need stuff, where we have needs. We're not going to step out of our walk and go and do something fraudulent. I always say, look, if I come to your house, you got to hide your pocketbook. I don't come back to your house. I'm not coming back to your house. If you got to put your Rolex watch all aside and hide your jewelry, then I come to your house, I'm not coming back to your house. Because if Kevin Street, you don't trust me. And if I got to put stuff away when you come to my house, I'm not going to invite you again. I'm not going to invite you to my house again. Because I say if you have something that I need and you don't give it to me, I'm not going to take it from you. Because if I need it and you have it, God's going to touch your heart to give it to me. I know that. Because I serve a good God. But, you know, people come, you got friends coming over. You got to hide everything. Well, why do you invite them to your house? You shouldn't invite them to your house. You got to hide everything. Put everything away. Look, he said, in strife and imprisonment, in tumults, in labor, in watching and fastings. Look. All of these things that Paul has faced. You got to go. We're going to go through some things as we walk this narrow path. But guess what? We are separated. We are being separated in the spirit realm. Having discussed his ministry of reconciliation, Paul now encouraged the Corinthians to be reconciled to him by opening their hearts. He defended himself by explaining how he and his companions respond to adversary. And every negative solution, you see, you got to wait. Watch how you respond. Watch how we talk about. We get our spirit man begin to churn on the inside. It turns upside down when we don't hear what we want to hear. We forget who we are and whose we are. All of a sudden, we have an angry spirit. Can't even hear from God because we are so mad on the inside. Mad about your sister. Mad about your brother. And God said we are supposed to edify each other. That means lift up each other. Not put each other on a pedestal. Only body's not hard. Brother Deacon says it's Jesus. We keep him lifted up. But we encourage each other. He talked about that on Sunday morning. He was preaching about that. Encourage each other. Don't always ready to critique each other. Of course, this is what a lot of people go to church. Let me just, I can preach it better than the pastor. The bishop preaching that way, I can preach it better than the bishop. I can do it better than him. Instead of listening to what the bishop is saying, that God is saying to the bishop, that's going to take you from where you are, from your zero to a hero, becoming with a critique mind. A lot of people go to church like that. They go to the building with a mind of critiquing. Let me just look and hear what he say, what she say, what they doing. That's why I said I put my two pennies in. I don't care where I go. They said, man of God, you got something to say? Yes, I got something to say. I'm born again. I'm cleansed. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm restored. God give me a word. Wherever I go, I just got to walk into the foyer into the sanctuary. And when the preacher see me, I don't know what it is. They say, man of God, you got a word for the church today. I say, yes. Why? Because you're a child of God. God put something inside of you. You got folk come to Blog Talk Radio. You got to beg them to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. You got to beg them. That's why we get to a place that say, Lord, once we finish, put that thing on recording, let it go. We got folk in Tanzania. We got folk in Nairobi, we got folk in Philippine Island, we got folk in Germany, we got folk in Syria, we got folk, man, all over the world, Australia, that is tagging us. I put a word on there yesterday, but we got a church, got to wake up, and soon I say that, hear people tagging that stuff. I was hitting that stuff all over the place. Why? Because God has given us a word. We got a word. And he said last night, there has to be a separation for holiness. You cannot walk holy if you're still connected to the world system. He said, we are in this world, but we're not of this world. But we stand connect ourselves, stay connected to the world system. We're only here for one thing, and that's to deliver a message. Tell people that only Jesus can save. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one can come to the Father except through him. To tell them that he died on Calvary. We're here to tell them that.
that he gave his life so they can have life. We got a message, man. We don't have to have the whole book. What has he done for you? Sister, what has he done for you? Not the song they sing on the radio. What have you done for me lately? Because they're looking for money. They're looking for stuff. They're looking for materialistic things. Tell them what he done for you when he shed that blood. He washed you. He cleansed you. He put you in the right full mindset. This is what he does. This is the message. This is the ministry. This is the gospel. We're looking to get rich. That's all we're thinking about. God's going to take care of you. Paul says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Listen. This thing got the inside of so strong on the inside of us. This change that I'm talking about today, I'm talking about there has to be a separation for holiness. It has to be on the inside. It's not your robe that you put on Sunday morning. It is not your apostle ring. It's not your bishop ring. It's not your pastor ring or evangelist ring or prophetess ring. Because you know they got a ring for every ministry. Every title, every gift, they got a ring.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's not it. This thing and all this change that I'm talking about, this separation that Paul is talking about, has to happen on the inside. He said that even when you're going through stress, when you're being whipped, when you're in prison, you still have to be the man of God. You still have to be in the world. I was locked up for 66 days for immigration. And something happened in 1988. In 2007, I went away to marry, do the wedding for my daughter back in the Caribbean, do the marriage sermon. And when I was coming back, it flagged on the computer in the immigration notes. They couldn't see nothing. They just said, they call it a red flag. And they put me, everybody's going through. And they had me back. I couldn't get on the plane. They tried to figure out, can't figure it out. Well, finally, they take my passport and take all this and they send me through. And after a couple of months, they called me back down, called me to Dallas. This is in Virginia, Dallas Airport. And I went down there and they put me in shackles, put me in handcuffs and locked me up for 66 days. And inside there, this is what I'm hearing, Paul. And in lockdown, I'm thinking about Paul and Silas in jail. I'm thinking of Peter in jail. I'm thinking of all these patriots. And I know this little black man, little fat black man, looking like a little teddy bear. He comes in, he's work for ICE. He comes in, man, you're going out of this country, man. Messing with that cocaine and all that stuff. You're going out of this country. I looked at him, I said, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. Right inside the immigration jail, ICE. I said, man, I'm a servant of God. And God is fighting for me. I'm here on assignment. I talked about the Blues Brothers. I said, I'm here on assignment for the Lord. I spent 66 days. I had started an African-American church in there and a Latin-American church. We had people, I was speaking a little bit of Portuguese, but we had a couple of guys that would translate for me. And we wrote some, we did some licensing. Inside, they sent some people back to British Honduras, back to British Honduras to preach the gospel because they got deported. But when I told them, I said, look, man, everything's going to work out for me. Don't even worry about it because I'm here on assignment for the Lord. And the lady that was the watering day, she was watering, she was over the jail. She's a police officer. And she, her girlfriend worked there too. She said to me, she said, Rev, ain't nobody ever come to this jail and did what you do. I had crackers, little salt crackers. They give you a little package. You go, if you ever been to jail, you know, they give you a little package and a little think about it better. But I had the crackers. I would get the crackers. And everybody crackers they would give me. And for 2 months, we had Holy Communion every first of the month. We had Holy Communion as the Lord lead us. We were using the grape juice. We ain't got no wine in there. We had the grape juice. We had Holy Communion. Hallelujah. And then we make the license and say, Christ, why, wherever you are, you got to profess this holiness. It has to come forth. If it's inside of you, it's going to come forth. No matter how people talk to you, well, let me go get my gun. Let me go get my sword. Let me get my machete. Man, you're a Christian. You're a Christian. You're a follower of Jesus Christ. Your light must shine in darkness so people will see your good works and glorify the Father. You see, Jesus knows that all of us, you and I don't care who you are. I don't care what degree you have. You and I, all of us still have some darkness inside of us. That's why he says, let your light so shine. As you was all just had light, he went to that. He wouldn't have to stipulate, let the light so shine. That light represents that you got some anger still inside of you laying dormant. It's in the old faith. I said, in the old faith, you know what? You say, well, I've been saved for 35 years, 40 years. But God, you don't want to take me back to where I come from. See, that's that old faith want to open. That's that old faith want to open. And if you know the devil to call you to open that old faith, you end up busting somebody in the head with a baseball bat. Knocking them out with a baseball, hit them with a stick or something, hit them, take them with a machete. And you hear what I'm saying? Where you have preachers shooting people. Why? Because they go back and open that old safe. They have not been separated from the world. They have not been separated from the thing that caused this spirit man to go topsy-turvy. Listen to what Paul said. We got some quick. We'll come back another day this week and do another thing this cause. I want to hit this thing real hard. I want to hit it real hard. Listen to what he says, man. He says, by the word of truth, listen to what he says. By the word of truth, because you see, you got a word of life. You got a word of life. If you got the word of truth, you got a word of life. There's always opposite to whatever you're doing or saying. He says, Paul says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, then you also got the power of Satan. See, they always got opposite. So we got to figure, how are we operating? Are we operating in the light or in darkness? Hallelujah. Are we operating with peace and joy and holiness and the Holy Ghost? Or are we operating in the anger and violence? We got this mindset. We're better than everybody else. I can preach better than I can teach better. No. When I'm preaching, you're preaching. When you're preaching, I'm preaching. Why? Because we got the same spirit. And my spirit is connected in your spirit. That's why I can exalt you. This is why I can praise you. This is why I can lift you up. I'm not jealous over you. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what you drive, where you live, or what. That stuff don't move me. If you live in a gay community, it don't move me. What moves me is your walk. Your walk is what moves me. When I look at you and see that you're growing in Christ Jesus, that moves me because I said, I can grow too. If he is growing, I can grow. If she's growing, I can grow too. Why? Because we're connected to the same vein. We're connected to the same vein, the same source, the same life source. And he is no respecter person. If he's giving you life, he's going to give me life too. Hallelujah. I see you smile. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. My sister's smiling. I'm going to smile too. Hallelujah. My sister's better. I said, Lord, I thank you because I know my blessing is around the corner. He's not going to let me keep on suffering. Listen to what Paul said, man. He says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report. See, people talk about you bad. You still got to be who God called you to be. When people show you honor, you smile. When they dishonor you, still smile. Hallelujah. When they talk down, you don't get bent out of shape. My pastor told me years, many years ago when I lived in Virginia. Excuse me. They were co-pastor, husband and wife. And she told me, she said, son, look, Mr. Jones, I have to get your heart. If you say the wrong thing, man, I want to fight. I feel like Cassie's clear. In the church, me, two elders, me and his mother, he named David, too. He's from Ghana. And he disrespect me in the church. And I told him, let's go outside, man. You want to talk to me any way you want to? Come on. Come on, huh, young elder. So let's go outside and talk to me the way you're talking. See what I do to you in the parking lot. My pastor come on and said, man, I can't believe you all. My son's acting like this. And man, I felt like a little cockroach when Pastor come up there and talk to us. I sure could see how the other David Larkin, how his whole countenance changed because when Pastor said, he talked with authority. He spoke with authority as a man of God. And we both felt that small. says that small. What God is saying, that we got to learn how to deal with situations. Don't let nobody pull you into their mess. Don't let them pull you into their mess. You pull them into your blessing. Pull them in. He says, when they dishonor you, don't you get, you got to be the same man, the same woman that God is called you to be. I'm going to get mad. I ain't going back to that church. They talk to me anyway. I ain't going back to that line. Who they think they are. Well, you're going to mess up with God. Maybe there's something inside of you that God is still working on. He ain't working on everything at one time. If God worked on everything, you would say, well, I don't need God no more. You know, folks say that. I don't need him anymore. I'm well. Everything is fixed. Everything is fixed. But every time you look around, God is doing something new in us. Not new to God, it's new to us. He's doing something new. He's raising us up. That's why I don't praise us. I don't praise myself. I give God thanks every morning. I praise him. I say, Lord, thank you. I repent for my thoughts. Oh, God, thoughts that I didn't know about and thoughts I didn't know about. I repent, Lord. Every morning. Why? Because I know I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. He said, be ye perfect as I'm perfect. But I know I'm not perfect yet, but he's perfecting me. He said, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. The folk going to come against you. Liars. Liars going to come against you because of who you are, who you are. Not because you're all that in the bag of chips in the Pepsi-Cola, but because you belong to Christ Jesus. Look and see how the government, look and see the government run this country, how they're coming against everything that's Christianity. Everything that leads to holiness, righteousness. They're scared of the truth, the government. They're scared of the truth. So they're promoting a lie. They're fighting the boss and say, well, it's a woman's right to kill her baby. And then sure the flood's coming and the earthquake come, they pray to God, God, don't let us drown in the water. But they're killing the babies. Don't let the fire burn us up and take a house and a vet and a Lamborghini and Ferraris. They're crying out. But they don't want to honor what God says. They don't want to honor him. They want to do their own thing. Because they said, this is my body. I do what I want to. Who gave you the body? Can you make yourself breathe? Can you make yourself breathe when your heart stops? Can you make your heart start again? Even when the doctor hit you with that thing on your chest, it's God. It's Yahweh that makes the heart start again, not the doctor. They think it's them. As unknown and yet well known, my God, as dead, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. Listen. It don't matter what you're going through, what you're dealing with. You know you're a child of God. Sometimes I don't feel well. I don't blow a horn. I said, Lord, I thank you. I said, Lord, I thank you for the pain that I'm suffering in my body right now. Lord, because I know you are my healer. I thank you, Lord, that my mind seems to go in and go out, Lord. I said, but I thank you that you'll clear my mind. Thank you for the times when my mind just go blank and I can't see nothing in my mind. I can't hear nothing in my mind, but Lord, I thank you. You bring it back alive. I talk to him like that and get there and start complaining about every little thing that happened to me. Look, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. He said, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. My God. Paul, you wrote this about me. You wrote this about me. I got to put my name right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ha-shara-ba-ita. See, you got to be excited. All we're going to do is complain to God, I don't have this, I don't have that. And what you have, you wouldn't even praise him for. I'm talking today about this. There has to be a separation for holiness. We cannot stay connected to this world system. Connected to it and expect holiness going to flow through us. Any chance we get, we gossiping about somebody. We learning about somebody. Talking about somebody behind their back. Don't have the tenacity, not tenacious enough to come to them and tell them how you feel about them. But we say we love the Lord. Look, it says, all ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. Paul said, look, we tell you what you need. Our heart is enlarged for you. I feel what you're going through. They're going through a whole bunch of stuff. Corinthians was fussing over everything. They were fussing with the money in the church. A lot of stuff was going on in Corinth. Listen to this. Not for a recompense. In the same, I speak as unto my children, be also enlarged. Father, I want you to, we ought to want to have people be like us. We ought to live this thing in such a holy way that people want to be like us. Hallelujah. Because if we're living an unseemly life, nobody wants me like you. You know what happened? They're not even coming to the house of the Lord. Because when they look at the pastor and the bishop and the evangelist and teacher and all that stuff, and see that they're living an unseemly lifestyle, they don't want to come to the house. And then guess what? They're going to go on CNN, go on Twitter, they're going to go on all of these different media sites, and they're going to blow the pastor up. Man, do you know Pastor got two girlfriends? Man, I didn't know he's sleeping with them young boys in the church. Why? Because we're not walking circumspectly. We're not living this thing out the way God is supposed to be. Be holy for I'm holy. Find a peace with all men. We got to carry this thing walk. Everywhere we go, we wait for Sunday morning because, you know, Prophetess so-and-so going to be at church. A bishop so-and-so going to be at church. Or pastor so-and-so, chief apostle, all these folk going to be there. We got to look a certain way. Walk a certain way. Make sure you cross around your neck and chain is in your pocket. You got to look a certain way. Make sure your ring is clean and sparkling. Everything's got to be, all the I's got to be dotted and the T's crossed. I got to look a certain way. We doing this to look so for men and women. What about for God? Can God look at your heart and say, well, that's the place I want to rest today? Can God look at our hearts and say, look, I want to sit on the throne of your heart today? Because we our hearts are prepared to carry the very essence of who God is. I'm talking about your spiritual heart. I know this is not a jumping message, but I know it's good because God gave this to me yesterday. And then this morning, begin to pour more scriptures into me. But I'm sticking right here. I'm not going to keep you too long. Listen what it says. He says, look. Paul is so awesome. He said, you are not straightened, but you are straightened in your own bowels. Listen. Paul says all about you. It's not doing what you're doing for us. It says, your emotions are what's moving you. Most of us are just moved by motivational teaching and preaching. So we're moved in our emotions. And our emotions keeps us back from doing what God calls us to do because emotions cause us to become jealous over each other. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I've got to tell you. Now for a recompense, listen to what he says. He says, in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. And he said, be not unequally yoked. See, you got to be separated. Be hooking up with people that not walking the way that we're walking. He don't say, don't pray for them. He don't say, don't go into fast and pray for people that are walking contrary to our walk. He said, but don't be unequally yoked. Don't get caught up. Don't get tied in with these people. You got folks say, well, I like him because he's handsome. He drives a BMW. I want him to be my husband. Don't know nothing about the man. Don't know nothing about that woman. But you want her to be your wife. I haven't even talked to God about her. 6 months, 3 months down the road, it seemed like all devils are in the house. You were praising God and that woman cutting up that. You're praising God and that man cutting up in the house. Tell you, stop that praying. Stop all that praying. Stop all that. Why you got to read that book every day? Why you got to pray all the time?
because your emotion said she looked so good. Oh, he had a nice Jerry curl. He had a nice smooth haircut. His nails was clean. He wore nice loafers. It was just dressed nice. That is just the outer appearance. What about his true character? What about her true character? Is she a loudmouth woman? I never care for loudmouth women. You know, they embarrass you in the public. Never care for them. I like them as a person. You know, I love them as a human being, but I never care for them. But he said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what commune have light with darkness? He said, Paul tells you straight up. We can pray for them and we should pray for them. Just like you have preachers. Preachers right now fussing with each other. I tell you this morning. They fussing with each other with Beyonce. Because some preachers lusting for her. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some preachers are lusting after her. Her beauty. And some folk want to be close to her because she has millions upon millions upon millions. The husband got cars, some of his cars worth over $2 million, some of them. Some of them $3 million cars because they have so much money. And folk don't mind. Say, well, she can use my music in an ungodly environment. Use my music and connect Satan to my music. I don't care how much money you have, Beyonce. I don't care how much royalty you're going to give me. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I'm pissed off. Well, why is the bishop in North Carolina preaching about her? He's trying to save the lives of other young women and young men that would be led astray by that stupid satanic approach. Taking a good sound, a good church sound, and adding it to the devil worship. See her on YouTube. She got two horns on her head like the devil. And then she got another one that they're saying our holy cheats. She said, behind, got a string that goes up through her crack, the crack of her behind. And her big cheeks are out, big golden cheeks are out. And she calling them holy cheats. She got a song about that, holy cheats. Then she had the audacity to say she take the pages of the White Bible and why she's in her menstrual. While her body's menstruating, she take the paper, the pages of the book and fold them and make a tampon and put it inside her vagina. And people, preachers are fighting with her. Take the Holy Writ and put it inside her private part. Do you hear me? Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. I don't care how much money they have. That's why I say I don't preach for money. God give me everything I need. Everything I need. And one of the things that God give me that I cherish is God connect me with some good people. Oh, my Lord. He connect me with some good people. Good people worth more than money, worth more than gold. If you got somebody good in your life, that's even when you somewhere and you're going through. You don't even got a conference to pray for me. You know they're praying for you. You can tell because they're starting to kill you. When you slip going up that ladder and almost fell and bust your head. They were praying for you. They didn't even know that what you was doing. And they're praying for you. That's the people that God put in my life. And in your life too. Listen to what he says, man. I'm gonna finish this thing, and then I'm gonna do one more scripture and then we're gonna turn right over. I got a lot more scripture, but that's where I'm going to stop today. I got to straighten up some stuff in the truck and put my granddaughter's stuff in the truck to take the cottage tomorrow morning. We still going to have Blog Talk Radio on. Only some places when I go through the mountain, my computer will go dead because when going through the mountains, you lose always. You lose for a few minutes. The preacher still can preach, but you wouldn't hear. I wouldn't be able to hear you all for a few minutes. But he said, and what can concord
have Christ with Belial? Or what part have he that believeth infidel? We don't have no agreement. We don't have nothing going on. We just, the folk that operate in that realm of unholiness, we don't have nothing going with them. It doesn't matter how much money they have. I'm thinking about my crown of gold. I'm thinking about my robe, my heavenly robe. I'm thinking about my slippers, my golden slippers. I'm thinking about the ring of sonship that he going to put on my finger. I'm not thinking about this stuff these people got down here. My mind is not even here. I'm closer to being with him than when I first began. Do you know that? I'll be 73 years old this year. And feel like 55. It look like it too. But listen what he says. And what agreement have the temple of God, you, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You hear what God is saying? That's Exodus in Exodus 29 and 42, 45. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. No. We got to understand that we are called to be different. You're not called to be the same. God did not bring you up the crack house to be act like a crackhead. He didn't bring you up the crack house to act like a crackhead. It is my testimony. It is my testimony. And you know, I don't share it all the time. Just like the preacher was saying from North Carolina, you can't share it all the time because it's some people that will go back out and start using it again because they get excited, emotionally excited because of hearing you talking about alcohol or talking about drugs. They'll go back and get high. They're not where we are yet. I can go any place where cocaine is alcohol. I'm not going to drink any. I got some wine here. I got some wine here I use for Holy Communion here. And bet I haven't been here so long. Because all I do is use a little timble. He tell me, take Holy Communion, take home. I was drinking that thing was gone. He'd be gone in a few minutes. But it don't move me to that extent. I know that it's here for what I use in ministry. And remembrance of what he done at the cross. Now he says, therefore come out from among them and be separated, and says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. This is what God's saying. See, we wonder why God, we wonder why God is not moving, the way that we want him to, we would expect him to move in our lives. Some of us, not all of us, but some of us are crying, well, I've been praying for this and praying for that. I wonder why it's not happening. You should connect to this stuff. Some family members, you need to completely cut them off. Pray for them, but you got to cut them off. Because every time you get with them, you act like them. This is for somebody out there. Every time you get with them, you act just like them. My family says this, because I am so different. They want me to go play to go this. I said, no, because the Spirit don't lead me to go there. And if the Spirit don't lead me to go there and see you all go, I pray for you all. I pray for you all. Because, see, something might just happen because I'm there. Because the enemy wants to take me out. And the Lord said, don't go. Don't go. So I got to go with the Spirit that I'm hearing speaking to my soul. I know his voice. I also know the devil's voice. I know you are too holy to see you know the voice. I know the devil's voice because I used to work for him. And I know the voice of my flesh. And those three voices speak all the time. Yahweh speaks to me. Satan speaks. And my flesh speaks. You know when your flesh speaks to you, it wants you to do things that are unseemly. Like commit adultery, fornicate, lie, cheat. All this stuff your flesh speaks about. Then the devil tells you, don't go to church. Don't fellowship. You don't need to go on the line with them people. Or you got to go down to that church dealing with them folk. Them folk don't like you anyway. Devil's going to tell you all kinds of stuff called the devil wants you to not to separate yourself from his leading. He still wants to be controlled over your spirit, over who you are. But God says this through Paul. He says, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. See, God, so when you separate, God now begin to operate as father. He operates now as ever in your life, in our lives, because now we have given him access to who we really are. We are giving him access to us. Now no longer have we deviated from the call, from the walk, from the talk. God is looking at us. He's looking at us. He's watching us. And he knows that we're trying to play with him because you can't fool him. He sees all and knows all, can do all. But when we truly come out and say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry of this lifestyle I've been living. And I want you to come on and like when Bishop do the prayer service, and come on in and take control. You've got to surrender. Bishop said something sometime back there that I take it everywhere I go. You've got to submit and commit. A lot of people submit, but they're not committed. They say, I submit, but I'm committed. And I say, honey, I do. I do love you. When we do that, what, my son, I do love her. I do love her. First 3 months, you do love her. 6 months down the road, you say, I don't love her. What happened so quick? What's happened so quick? And this is what we do with God. Lord, I surrender. But quick, fast, and a hurry, all of a sudden, no more surrender. You still want to do your thing. Go to Matthew 25. Give you this one scripture. Well, I can't do separation, no, put this in here. Then we'll come back and do another one somewhere. Someday this week, I don't know if the Lord said. Here, in Matthew chapter 25, and what I got up here, let's start at verse 35. He says, for I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you curse, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now remember, when you understand that the fire of, or the fire of the lake and brimstone, that fire was not prepared for mankind. But Satan is doing all that he can to separate mankind from their God, from our Savior. He says this fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. And I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away
into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting, into life everlasting. God is not playing. Here, he's not playing. God is watching. This is why you have to be always ready and willing to help somebody. Don't play with it. Okay? Don't play with it. We, a lot of times, find excuse not to do what God wants done. We find excuses. I get upset when I'm driving the street and I see the homeless. I see people that in a cardboard box and I don't have cash on me to give them. People say, well, they should get it down. I was with some church folk. And I said, man, I ain't got no money to give these people. And the people said, well, looking at them, they look like they could get it down. But God don't want you to look at that. God wants you to see their needs. See, you got to look beyond their faults and see their needs. Just like he looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs. When we allow that to happen, what happened is God began to get glory. I've given a young lady, I was going into, I was going down to get some Jamaican food. I wanted to get some curry golden rice. And as I was going down, this lady was in the street, middle of the street, and she was a Latino. And she had, okay, where you going?
Doing an errand.
All right, be safe. I love you. And she was in the middle of the street walking through the cars. And I was rushing to get my wallet. I said, I got to give this woman some money. And it so happened that when I give her the money, I want to tell her, talk to her. She's telling me, the Lord bless you. You know what I'm telling you? She's telling me, the Lord bless you, sir. The Lord bless you. I don't want to bless her. She ain't trying to turn around and bless me. Hallelujah. So I said, God is just up here in the same book. He talks about the sheep and the goat. Okay? The sheep and the goat. There's got to be a separation. Here he says, and cast ye the unprofitable servants into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, verse 31, 30 and 31, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. See, it's important. Your blessing is not here. Your blessing is there with him. See, we are so focused on living like the Joneses and the Jeffersons. When I was in the Caribbean, we used to always watch. We used to go to the neighbor and look through the window because we didn't have a TV yet. And look through the window at the neighbor to see the Jeffersons. And we used to watch the Soul Train. And I would say, man, if I ever get to America, I want to be just like George Jefferson. And I'm going to get me a house. I'm going to get me a house. And I found out that when George Jefferson died, he didn't have any money. Because they had robbed him. He was putting on the show for the people while they were robbing him, making them millions while he ended up with nothing. And I realized that it wasn't about making the money. You know, because when you come to the understanding that how great the Lord is and what he's done for you, you realize it's not about money. Yeah, we got to pay the bills. Yeah, we need to
put gas in our car. We need to keep the light burning in the house, water flowing. But it's not about the money. It's about sharing this message with such authority and compassion. Don't get misconstrued. It's not only, it's not about shouting or jumping or rolling on the floor, but it's about having compassion for the brothers and sisters that we minister to. Allow them to see the love of Christ in us. Don't act like we all that, I like to say a bag of chips and a Pepsi-Cola. Don't act like we all that. Let them see the love in us, because it's the love that's going to draw people to Christ. When we act like because we've been here for a little bit, that we all that, people don't come. They don't come to Christ. Or they see you as making yourself like you're more important than them. No, we got to come down. You see what Jesus did? He went in the temple, I think, about four times. He went in the synagogue about four times. All the time he was out in the city, out in the street, evangelizing, telling people the message of the kingdom. He was asking people, bringing people to repentance by sharing the message of the kingdom. This is what God wants us to do. You know, don't push our chest up. It's not about how long or how much we got. It's about what he's done. Bishop, I am finished. Father, bless my lips, bless my eyes, Lord. And Lord, give us protection as we drive down to Northampton to take the stuff for my granddaughter tomorrow for her. She's at college now. But we got to take the stuff tomorrow. And Lord, we ask, I got a test to do on Wednesday morning. I got to go do a test at 7 o'clock. And we asking for God's supernatural favor on that, you know, so that we can experience his power and the gift of the Holy Ghost in our life. So, Bishop, come on in and do the prayer of salvation, and I will open the line for anyone that wants to put two pennies in or even a dollar. Come on in.
He'll be right with you, Apostle.
Okay, your phone sounds pretty far. What's going on?
Can you hear us?
I hear you now. Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I'm here, Pastor. I was indisposed for a minute. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Blessed be thy holy name, Father God. Father, I thank you for the privilege and the honor, oh God, of coming before my brothers and sisters, urge them to please accept you as their Savior. Those who have backslidden and those who have never accepted you as their Savior. At this time, please, I'm urging you from the bottom of my heart, please accept Jesus as your Savior, because we don't know when we're going to cross over to the other side. Only God knows. And not even holy angels know when God is going to say, I'm requiring your soul. You know, they don't know when God's going to require anyone's soul. It's up to him, the master. And please be ready. I urge you to be ready. On this past Saturday, I fell over, passed out. Didn't even know I was out. I could have very well crossed over to the other side. But I was ready. At least I thought I was ready. But I just rededicate my life every day. You know, it's the only way that we're going to be safe. If you feel bad, if you really feel bad, well, Father, forgive me for what I may have done. You know, because we don't know. We are not certain when our time will be up. So I urge you, brothers and sisters, to please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's so very, very easy to do so, but you must mean it in your heart. You must repent when you do so. And if you have a Bible, please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Okay. And you'll hear the salvation prayer. And it states, at chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And what does it say? It says that the word is near you. It's near you. It's in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. And verse 9 says, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, shall be saved. Now, if you've made that short confession, you must first of all believe. You must repent, which means not returning to the previous way you were living, whatever you were saying, doing, or who you were doing it with, whatever that you were doing or saying that was out of the will of God. I urge you, please, stop it. If you have strayed from the faith, return home, brothers and sisters. Don't be like the prodigal sons and be out there slapping with the pigs, and your father has all the things that you really need. Hallelujah, at home. Come back home, brothers and sisters. I urge you, come back. Don't hesitate another minute and repent from those things that you have done. Ask God to forgive you for what you have done and try your hardest not to stray anymore. Try with your uttermost fortitude not to stray anymore, not to do it anymore. And you'll find out that the Christian life is a good life. It's not restricted where you can't go to birthday parties and can't celebrate weddings. You know, I mean, Jesus made wine at the wedding in Cana. And, I mean, people were drinking. That don't mean you have to get drunk. You can drink. But don't do it to an excess. Don't do anything to an excess. And then it becomes gluttony. It becomes a sin. You can drink alcohol, but don't do it to the point where you're incoherent. You don't know what you're doing. The best thing is only to drink Alka-Seltzer with a thimbleful when you're taking Holy Communion. Don't indulge in it anymore. I was there. I know better. I don't even let the enemy tempt me with alcohol. I don't drink anymore other than Holy Communion. I don't do it because I don't want to fall short of God's glory any further than we do on a daily basis, because we are dust. But that don't give us a license to sin. You know, God knows that we're only dust, but he does give us forgiveness when we do slip. But try not to slip. Don't just repent. Don't go back to what you were doing, because you will be tempted. And sometimes people fall very easily. They didn't intend to, but one thing leads to another. Don't do it. Save yourself. And as Peter said in the book of Acts, as he was baptizing, we baptize every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent. That was his first word. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's no other name mentioned under heaven other than the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might get into heaven, we might be with the Lord, eternal salvation. Oh, it is the only way. Jesus, he is the way, the door, the truth, and the life. So congratulations to everyone who has returned home and to everyone who has never accepted Jesus before. God bless each and every one of you, and have a blessed and wonderful day. Obey the laws of the land, okay? And don't let anyone or anything tempt you. Fight it off. If you resist the devil, he'll flee. Seven different ways. It's in the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Apostle, it's back to you, sir. And thank you.
Bless you, Bishop. Thank you so much. God bless you. The line is open for anyone that wants to come on in and respond if you choose to. The line is open.
God bless you, Apostle. Everybody, Bishop, y'all, men and women of God, I love y'all. Thank God for this beautiful day and such a powerful word I heard today. I thank God for truth. You know, the Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, that's the word of God. Only the word can make you free. Only God's word, his truth, and his word is forever settled in the heaven. I thank God for the word today. It was very good in my soul. And I was hearing them talk about Beyonce. That's the biggest talk I hear. You know, and you know, the devil, she, you know, he used her as a trophy. You know, I think about when you look in the Bible in Matthew chapter 4, when he came to Jesus and he offered him all the powers and the cares of the world, and that's how he does, you know, with those celebrities. He used them as an influence, influence people to turn their way to him and you know, to gain more people to hell. And, you know, people don't know that, you know, that she's being used by Satan, you know, an antichrist spirit that's, you know, anti, you know, she said she's a Christian. You got all of them, you know, most of them now saying they're Christians now. You know, let them people tell it now, everybody Christian. And, you know, they don't really know what real salvation is because man has caused such a hot mess, you know, bad leadership or having people thinking that, you know, God accepts anything, you can do anything, and that's the way it is, and it's not the way. And so, you know, we really have to pray for our young people because this satanic occult spirit is in the music. It's in the gospel music now. And we really have to pray for our young people because a lot of them influenced by it because they see the glories of it. Same offer that he offered her. They see the glory, the money, the pretty cars, and, you know, and looking in America, you know, and that's not a discredit, you know, when you living in a poverty, you know, in some countries that's more poor than we call poor in America. And they see that glory of the nice cars and the beautiful girls and the fine clothes and all the nice jewelry and the accolades of it. They look at that, but they're not looking at the sacrifice that they had to make to get that. And so a lot of our young people don't know that. And then you got some of our young men, even rappers, have sold their soul and lost their soul because of living in poverty, coming from the hood, living in the projects, not having anything. And they you know, they don't feel like no other way out. And they sell their soul and they use their talent as a giver, and Satan offered them the glory, and then he take their soul. Many rappers, if you do your research, a lot of them have done that, and that's what the enemy is doing. He never changed his tactics. He do the same way with preachers. You got big preachers, big mega preachers that have been hired by Satan. He showed them all the glory of the big churches and the mega churches and all the glory, but they can't preach Jesus. And so, you know,
that's right.
That's what you see. And so you have to really, that's why you have to have the Holy Spirit. Bible said, though that Romans 8:9 said, if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you're none of his. And so you're just in an hour now that you have people claiming God, but they don't have the Spirit. You know, they don't know that because, you know, we're in a time now where you let some of these false teachers that's out there that Satan has hired, and they're thinking they with Christ because the person put a name of Jesus on their song or they put God's name on it, don't mean it's God. And people don't know that. They're saying something about God. But you got to figure out when a person's saying, what God are they talking about? You know,
you just don't jump
on every bandwagon just because they're saying it's God. You know, it's God. And then you got gospel artists that have been sold out, and they feel because they're using God's name that they're with God. That's why you have to have the spirit of heart with God. You have to. You don't have the spirit of God, speak for God's spirit. So you'll know the difference. You know, the Bible says his sheep know his voice, and they ain't going to follow anybody. When you're a sheep of God, you're going to know. Nobody can't just fool you to come at you. Anything. I just like, if anybody that like real jewelry or name brand stuff, and you know the difference between name brand clothes and fake jewelry. You know, now, you know, when you're in a big city like Miami, and certain cities, people will sell you jewelry, and they got a knockoff, and most people, if you don't know what a knockoff is, you would think that's real jewelry because they don't put that nail polish on it and make it look like it's real. But a jewelry person that really like gold, no gold. And so it's the same way, you know, when you're a real child of God, you got a spirit, you know the truth. You know, you have to have the truth, and they take the truth of God through his word, the counsel of his word. Like every day, get on the radio, listen to the different men and women of God that God used through the counsel of God. And it helps you to guide you and order your steps to God, because I mean, you got to be careful these days. I mean, you got so many doctrines, doctrines of devils out there that's coming in the church. I'm talking about any, I mean, they're coming in the name of Christ, saying that, but Jesus said that. He said, many going to come in my name, saying that, he told us that. And, you read the scripture, he said, they're going to come in my name, saying, I came in the name of Christ. And you can see that you can see that this word is really, God's word is fulfilling itself. You can tell that we're in an hour of antichrist spirit, where people, they're teaching people that they can sit at the table with devils and go and lay with God. It's like they're tricking. I'm going to trick with the devil. They lay up with God, and then after they lay with the devil all night, then they say, okay, I'm going, here God, here I go. They go to leftovers. And that's how you treat God, and then become with that type of spirit. And people don't know that because people haven't been taught. And they got this new doctrine now making people think that God accepts anything. You can do what you want to do, live any kind of way God understands, and people are not seeking God for themselves. You got some more people out there. Some people seek God for themselves, and they don't know where to go, so that's why you have to pray. And then you got some people, they like those type of places that make them feel like, because some people are mockers and scoffers, they really don't want to get saved. They just want to do what they want to do and think they're going to go to heaven any kind of way. And so they like those type of churches. And so God allowed those churches to be set up for those people. But if you're really looking for the real power of movement of God, you got to seek God for yourself. You got to really seek God, ask God, and when you're time and you're praying, Lord, send me to a leader after your heart. Help me, God, to know the difference. Help me, Lord, to know the difference. God, deliver me from social media. I'm asking God to deliver me from social media. I try to get on there, put Bible verses on there to help people. But you got to be careful with this stuff now, because there's so much temptation that the enemy is using every tactic he can. You can tell his time running out, because he's using everything he can to influence man. Even us, even the children of God. The Bible says even the very elect will be deceived. And you can see that many people that started off with God are not even, they're talking different now. They're making excuses for the flesh, making excuses about what God told us not to do. And they let you know that they don't been compromised by the enemy. Because God never changed his word. His word is forever settled in heaven. None of us, don't care what title we got, can change how God's word already. God's word is already settled. We cannot change what God already said. In the beginning, God, him and his son, we weren't here when he created the sun and the stars and the moon, and that's the problem. Man don't understand. You can't change what God, even the devil know God. They know the rules of God. Hell and all the angels and the fallen angels know the rules. They keep the rules. They follow the rules. They even mentioned Jesus. Think about when Jesus came to that man and cast those spirits out. They said, hold on, man. And, this ain't time yet. Now, if they knew it was a time, that means they know there is a boundary and a rule. So even the evil spirits have a rule. They know God have rules to understand it. It's just, man, they got so far away, they're wicked. I see why God called us an untoward, wicked generation, because they think they so smart that we're going to escape the judgment of God because we got new technology now. We got new cars, better clothes, and we living a little different than our ancestors. Now we think we smarter than God now. And so we just lost, our focus, man. That's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But the things that he added unto you, the things that will help us survive. Because the Bible says, this world is not our home. We just passing through. And sometimes it's hard to keep that in mind, because you see all the pretty cars, all the pretty things. I don't know nobody. I mean, I like nice things, cars. But then when you think about, it's not worth the salvation and your soul mark for these things in this world that's going to pass away. The Bible says heaven and earth going to pass away, but God's word going to stand. So we have to really pray for our young people, that God break this satanic spirit off our young people and the church, because it's a satanic spirit. Just like we pray and we seek God, the people that worship Satan, they pray to seek it. Now they're coming in the church. You got not just Beyonce, you got Kanye West. They coming in the church thinking they can just come to God any kind of way and walk up into heaven after they done sold their soul, and they haven't even repented yet. Snoop Dogg tried to do the same thing. He made a gospel record with some gospel artist, and they made excuses why they made a record with this man. This man ain't repent one time. One time he went right back doing what he was doing. He never confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, or received the Holy Spirit, or gave him all his riches that he got from Satan. And so he never, and it's just that the church has been fooled and been swept asleep in the church. The devil's making mockery at the church, and laughing at the church because we don't take nothing serious, and we arguing and debating with each other, and we got to get it together, saints. We got to really get it together,
right,
and get our minds sober. The Bible says be sober. You know, I think I preached that one time on here. Be sober because the adversary is a war lion seeking who he may devour. He's trying to take us out. He's doing everything he can to take us out. He got to use us against each other, whatever he can, to keep our mouth closed so we won't warn the people. We won't be the trumpet that's in the widow's aid, the power of the word of the Lord. John the Baptist said, hey, I know a man. He's coming. And so that's what we have to do, is be a light, you know, continue being a light. And I like what he was saying, you know, follow peace with all men, holiness without. The Bible says, follow peace with all men, holiness without. No man shall see the Father. I have to ask God to help me with that, because sometimes I fight with the things that are going on in this country about racism, and I have to ask God to help my heart not to hate a man because of his skin color, or not allow these things that are happening around us to change me as a child of God. Because I deal with that out here in the truck job. You meet a lot of guys that hate black people, and they show it. They don't want to wash their hands with you. They'll come there, use the bathroom, and walk out of there before they wash their hands with a black man. And I have to go, you got to look past all that. Still, hey, how you doing?
Right.
God, you know, God bless you. Still love them anyway, because the Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but evil people, and we fight against evil spirits. People don't realize what's using them. They don't know that. We got these, the racist man, he don't know no better. The same enemy that we got, he got. He don't know that because he's been taught
Hallelujah.
The wrong way. He been eating off the wrong tree. He don't, and then he don't know. He don't know that what he's doing is wicked. In his eyes, he's right, because it's a spirit. It's a root that's been rooted in that man, and he has to be delivered. It takes the power of God. You got to pray for that man, that God take that spirit off of him, because that's a spirit. The devil is the racist. He is the hate of all mankind. I don't care what your color is. Any man, they want to, him and those fallen angels hate us to death. If it was up to them, they'd kill all of us and get rid of all of us. But by the mercy of God, they can't do that. They can't, they're coming to do what they want to do, so they have to use tactics to do what they do, because God gave them a rule. Hey, you're not going to come over here and terrorize my plan like that. But then he allowed stuff to happen because man, a lot of stuff happened because man allowed this to happen. God said, what will we do so on earth? I'll loosen heaven. Whatever you buy, I buy. So a lot of this stuff that's on us is our fault, because we allowed Satan and his angels to influence us to let this stuff happen to our children and ourselves. And we just got to get back to God, ask God to help us in this hour, and pray that God give us mercy and save us out of all the things that are getting ready to come on us. We really need the power of God. We need it in a real way. I'm telling you, people need God in a real way. People need to be the same and delivered. You got people losing their soul right in the church. The same place that they're probably going to get healed, they're going to a church that people got them compromised. They're not keeping a standard in the house of God. You know, these people got delivered from alcohol and cocaine. I don't want you to tell me I can drink again. And then, nah, bro, don't do that. Don't tell me I can live the same way. I don't want the same lifestyle I had before I got saved. If I going to do that, I can stay out where I was. And so, and they try to bring this stuff. But instead of the church influencing the world, they the world influencing the church. When we're supposed to be the light that sit upon the hill, we're supposed to be the one that set apart. We're supposed to be the royal priesthood. We don't want to have them influence us. We're supposed to influence them. That's why God told us to be different. He pulled us out so we can be a light. That's why he said, before he was going to kill Solomon Gomorrah, he said, if I can find 50, if God can find somebody, he can use somebody to influence the rest of them. Hey, come out that way, because judgment coming. You need to get away, because judgment coming. God coming. You got to get over, get in line. Get in line, because judgment coming. And so, you know, we realize to pray that we pray against this satanic sorcery that's on us. It's a sorcery, satanic spirit that's on America and across this world that have been enchanted on us through enchantment and all these altars of Satan. And we got to pray against the powers of Satan. I plead the blood of Jesus against every power and every principality of Satan that's everywhere. I plead the blood of Jesus against it now. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus against everything that the enemy is doing. That's what we got to do. Plead the blood of Jesus against every tactic and power that he's trying to do against us. plead the blood of Jesus against every satanic spirit in the music that's trying to influence other pulls away from God. That's the only way we're going to win. We got to get full of God. Get put the Bible said put on a whole armor. We got to put on a whole armor. We got to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. We need to go back and read that. And go back and say, Lord, how did I put on a whole armor? Help me to get back and put my armor on. Show me what I need to do to get my armor. Because we got to get the whole armor on. We're in war. This ain't a game. And Satan is out of our soul. So I love y'all. God bless you. I'm going to try to preach again. I love y'all. I just enjoy every time I get on. I was in here laying down waiting to get my truck loaded. And, I'm trying to work, take care of my household, do what a man supposed to do, A man take care of his family, And that's what you're supposed to do. God gave us a responsibility to take care of our families, And so, pray for the men also that God, pray for our men because the enemy is after, I think Prophetess, she preached on it one time, after the glory, after the men. You see the shortage of men that's in the church. You see what the enemy doing. That's why I tell the women, look at what Satan is doing to your men. You look at the men, it's a father, he's after the head. If he can give, you can knock their head off. You got to worry about the rest of the body. And so we got to really pray for our men, pray for our young women that are being kidnapped across the United States. It's not being recorded. It's so much going on. And people, it is evil, great evil amongst us. We need the power of God. I'm talking about we need to get in it. I'm talking about it need to be in our skin, in our sweat, in our eyes. When a person look at you, they can see God. I'm trying to tell you. Lord, but I love y'all. God bless you. I ain't going to hold nothing up. I just enjoy the word.
You had me
fired up, man. I about ready to start flying in a minute. I don't know what he's preaching today, but I hope they hear it. But man, he throwing out some powerful stuff. But I just thank God for you, man. God bless you. I love y'all. Let's continue prayer for each other. Please pray for each other. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, love one another. And then the world will know that you are my disciples. There was a reason why he said that, because if the enemy can use this card against each other and we're not loving each other, we can't get the kingdom work done. And that's why some people don't want to come to the church, because we all been fussing amongst each other, and the world can see that. Like, man, I ain't finna go there. Man, they can't even, I can deal with that in the world. And so we got to get past ourselves and realize it ain't about us. It's about souls. We got to be servants. Jesus said he came to be a servant.
That's right.
He could have, he didn't glorify himself. He humbled himself that he could be, he said, I became humble through the things. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered, that he humbled himself as a servant. He told him to, it ain't about being great. It's about serving. And we got to learn how to serve each other, that we can help people get saved and help these people not walk away from God. People are walking away from God because the mess that's going on in the church, and they're confused. They don't know God really with us or not. And the enemy influencing them with all these riches and got them. You got people walking, our young people walking away. They don't even want God. And they go to church, they tell the parents, making them, their mind be influenced by this satanic music and this evil that's influencing them. And they making the enemy, making them thinking, well, he got it better than what God got. And they're forgetting that Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. He shed his blood that we can be free, that we can be free from sin, that he can buy man back to him. There was a reason why he died, and the people forget about that. And Satan think these tangible things are better than what God already done. He has done so much for us. We look at the sun in the sky. When you walk outside, you look at that sun. You look at that moon. And you look at everything that God created. And even look at yourself. Look at the glory of God. That's better than money. Money can't buy that. You can't go to Walmart and buy that what God did. So that's all I got to say. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones, for your input. Yeah, you add to it. That's right. I mean, there's so much stuff going on in the house. And people is being deceived, and the problem is that we, like you said, we supposed to change them, but they're changing us. not us per se, but a lot of the other places that you see that they're twerking and doing all this crazy stuff, and I mean they're doing an electric slide and an electric boogie, all that stuff to the music, and they say they're praising the Lord, and everything that they're doing in the nightclub, and I've seen some of the fellas, they got the dry ice coming up out the altar. They got the fog lights and all this stuff. And they say this is church, But like you said, I always say, when they say they're serving God, I say, which God? because Satan is the god of this world. So let's know which God you're serving. And they're preaching hard, but they're not seeing Jesus. They're not seeing Yeshua, Yahweh. They're not seeing none of his holy names. They're not calling. You know, they're just putting on a show. You see, what's his name? Kurt Franklin, now he wearing lipstick just like a woman. And I'm putting on blush on his face because he thinks he's a woman. You know,
he don't been brought up.
He's saying he wants to play like he's some gospel singer. You know, dressing in women clothes and all that kind of stuff. You know, I saw him on there, had a skirt on, red skirt and a blouse on. You know, dressing like a woman, and got lipstick on. What are you playing? You're a drag queen. You know, you know, and we got to be careful. I don't buy their music. I don't buy their music. So, but this is where the Lord gave me this message last night. Yesterday evening while I laying on the bed. There's got to be a separation for holiness. We got to be different. Holiness is not a game. It's not a play thing. It's not a playing. It's got to show. It's got to show when we walk, when we talk. Everything that we do must show. It must be seen. It can be seen on you. Holiness can be seen. People know if you walk in holy, if you live in holy. People know you. It's not a game. And they know when you're faking that stuff out. They know when the folk faking it out. Oh, yeah, we holy, holy. And then look at they drinking, they get drunk, they smoking, they shacking up, doing all that stuff. They know you're not holy. And God sees that stuff. He sees that stuff. So the line is open, though. The line is open for anyone who wants to come on in and put some pennies on, dollar, 35 cents, whatever. In Apostle Ray, send Pastor Joyce thank you message. We just sent out some funds to Africa, and we're going to send some funds out to India, and we want to thank you all for helping us do what we do. Good. They appreciate it, and this is a very bad time. You know, it's hard here in the United States, but it's very, very hard in India and in Africa, especially India. And parts of Africa, they're getting the flood waters are very bad. And Afghanistan, Pakistan, very bad. Almost 1,200 people died in Afghanistan from flood waters. And there's a lot of stuff going on all over the world. As I shared earlier, people they're not taking notice that God is speaking. You see, he's not going to flood the world again. And next time be fire. But what happened is the water is coming as a warning before the fire comes. And people are playing church. And we can't play church. We got to be the church. We got to let our light shine. We got to be the salt. We got to make a difference wherever we go. Wherever we go, we're not getting in the conversation just for conversation's sake. When we get in the conversation, somebody got to know that we are saved. They got to know that we are saved, that we are living different, that we are the light, that we have the salt that they need, that we have the light they need to get from where they are to where they need to be. So the line is open. The line is open. And we thank God for saving Bishop James. He had to go to the hospital on Saturday. But the Lord brought him out safe, and he's back feeling good. You know, he fell out in the house on Saturday, and she couldn't get him up. So she had to call the paramedics, and they came, get him off the floor, because Bishop was a heavy guy. He got a little weight on him. So, and, you know, when you fall out like that, you become dead weight. But thank God for thank God for showing up and bringing him out. So he went and got a treatment at the hospital, and his pressure and all that stuff is normal. So the doctor dispatched him so he can go home. Anyway, the line is open. Anyone want to come on in, want to respond, you can if you want to say something to help us, to encourage us to go a little further. Somebody's waiting to hear your voice out there in computer land. Okay, Minister Jones, go ahead and pray us out. Because I already
put the message on. Yes, sir. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless your name today, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your strength, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, to be and for this gathering together, Lord. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be in the midst of us, Lord. We thank you for the radio broadcast, Lord. We thank you for all your blessings and all your favor, Lord, that you and bring upon us, Lord. We thank you for your promise, Lord. We thank you for your word is forever settled in the heavens. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us hide the word in our heart that we want to sin against you. Lord, help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, Lord, that we'll be able to overcome the darks and the foul trials of the enemy. Lord, help us, God. Give us wisdom. Give us power. Lord, anoint us to do your will in the name of Jesus, God. We need your strength today. Strengthen us in the name of Jesus, God. God, strengthen the finances of this radio broadcast, that everything will be done in Africa and every place that they give to. God, let your blessings rain upon this radio broadcast in the name of Jesus. God, continue to anoint us to do your will, God. Cover us with your blood in the name of Jesus. Keep us, Lord. Protect us, God. Help us, Lord, as we gather to come back together. Lord, help us continue keeping our minds stayed on you. Lord, you said in your word, if we keep our minds stayed on you, you'll keep us in perfect peace if our minds stayed on you. Lord, we forever bless your name. Give your name the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Stay cool out there and safe.
Yes, sir.
God bless you all. Thank you all for coming on. We appreciate you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. God bless you.